ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, April 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Feel like you've got whiplash? Elon Musk has changed his mind about joining Twitter's board. So, what are his plans now? And what will it mean for the social media company? On today's show, WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Laura Foreman joins us to discuss the fight that may be brewing between the social media platform and its biggest investor. That's after these headlines. Apple is betting big on India as its next big Asian manufacturing base. Yesterday, the company said it's begun production of its iPhone 13 there. Currently, India accounts for just 3% of Apple's manufacturing base, and that number is expected to increase to between 5 and 7% this year, according to Counterpoint Research. But that's still tiny compared to China, where Apple does over 95% of its global manufacturing. WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Megha Mandavia, based in Bangalore, says Apple is looking to change that.
Most of the electronic manufacturing is based in China, and electronic companies and companies worldwide were dependent on what moves the Chinese government will make. Will they shut down factories? Will they open factories? What are the protocols? So companies are now increasingly become cognizant of diversifying out of China. Obviously, they are not going to cut back completely because the whole Chinese manufacturing base has been built over the last 3 to 4 decades. It's strong. It's been very resilient, but they want to kind of diversify, so all bets are not just on one region.
You can hear more from Megha on this morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? On strike, some Etsy sellers have temporarily shut down their digital stores to protest the company's plan to raise its commission rate from 5% to 6.5%. Meanwhile, a petition against the rate hike has been signed by more than 15,000 sellers, according to the organizers. So, what does this rift mean for Etsy's growth plans? Here to discuss this is our online shopping reporter, Charity Scott. Hi, Charity. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Charity, tell us why Etsy is making these changes.
Well, Etsy has really ambitious goals. It wants to be the place where people start their online shopping journeys, which, you know, for a long time has been a mantle that Amazon has carried. So those are pretty big goals that they have. And in order to get there, they need to make significant changes and have to do pretty extensive marketing in order to continue to attract new buyers to the platform with the hope that they will stick and become regular buyers.
Okay, so are sellers just upset about the fee increase, or is there more to this story?
So I think for a lot of sellers, it's more insult to injury than it is a beef with the transaction fee in and of itself. One thing that I think is really important to note that even after the raise, Etsy's fees will be lower than most of their competitors. What sellers are upset about is more about the changes that the platform has been making in recent years and plans to continue to make in order to be able to compete at the level that they're aiming at. So that means, you know, millions and millions of sellers are on the platform, and it may be harder to get your questions answered or to get support from a real person. It means, you know, Etsy is trying to get more and more sellers to offer free shipping, which is obviously something that pretty much every big e-commerce giant is offering. Etsy is making all of these kind of demands on these businesses that really kind of creates tension when you see yourself as a small business owner with a certain amount of autonomy about how you run your business.
Okay, so how important is it for Etsy to keep its sellers happy?
Well, Etsy is an asset-light business. They are function as a marketplace, just like think of eBay or Poshmark, meaning that it's a business that doesn't hold its own inventory. So in that way, sellers are incredibly important. They are vital to Etsy's business model. But Etsy has 5.3 million sellers currently and is adding new ones every single quarter. So it can afford to have some sellers, you know, get angry enough that they leave the platform. But in the long run, Etsy wants to make sure that its seller base is happy and, most importantly, is making enough money on the platform that they stick with it.
All right. That was our reporter, Charity Scott. Thanks for breaking this all down for us, Charity.
Thanks for having me.
China has ended its months-long freeze on approving new video game licenses. Regulators there say they approved 45 video games last week. It comes more than 9 months after Beijing tightened restrictions about how often and how long minors could play video games, in an effort to fight what authorities referred to as youth video game addiction. Notably, the list of newly approved games doesn't include titles from industry leaders like Tencent or any foreign developers. Meanwhile, one of the biggest U.S. video game companies, Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, says it's gotten a funding boost to help support its efforts to develop the metaverse. Sony and Kirkby, the holding company for the family that owns Lego, each invested an additional $1 billion in Epic, bringing the company's valuation to nearly $32 billion. All right, coming up, he's on the board, he's off the board. He's tweeting ideas for changes, he's deleting the tweets. What's going on with Elon Musk and Twitter? We'll discuss after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
It's been a roller coaster week for Twitter, ever since we learned that Elon Musk had become the company's largest shareholder. First, there was speculation about what he would do with his influence. Then it was announced he was joining Twitter's board. Over the weekend, he posted suggestions on how the platform could change, which he has since deleted. And now we know Musk has changed his mind about becoming Twitter's newest director. So, with all of these twists and turns, where does that leave Musk, Twitter, and us observers? Joining us to break all this down is WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Laura Foreman. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being here.
Hi, of course. Nice to be here.
What do we know about why Musk made this decision?
I mean, ultimately, who knows why Elon Musk makes any decision? It could be, you know, soul searching. It could be a dream he had. But we have some clues. And a big one, in my opinion, is that many of his weekend tweets have since been deleted. As a board member, he may have been limited on what he could tweet or suggest about the company, you know, in jest or even in seriousness. But importantly, it seems he was going to be limited to owning less than 15% of the company. It seems like maybe the initial meeting with the company didn't bear fruit for him. Maybe the other directors and management and employees, you know, weren't really seeing eye to eye with him. And therefore, he felt an easier route to affecting real changes he wanted to see was to go it alone. You know, at the very least, now he gets to continue to tweet to his heart's content. So,
okay, let's talk about some of those, you know, now deleted tweets that Musk put up over the weekend. I mean, some were pretty provocative, and there were plenty of suggestions about changes that might be made at Twitter, some maybe less realistic than others. What were some of the real changes that we expected he wanted in those tweets?
So the most interesting or meaningful one, I think, was to remove all the ads from Twitter Blue. Twitter Blue is the recently launched paid subscription service that Twitter has. And he also said Twitter Blue should cut its fee from, I think, $3 a month to $2.50. And honestly, for anyone who loves Twitter, that's, you know, $30, and it seems like a no-brainer. I did some quick math, and if half of Twitter's current stable of daily users were to pay that, it would generate like half the revenue Twitter made on all of last year in ads. So very meaningful, even from just a very low fee. Prior to the weekend, he also talked about making Twitter's algorithm open source. He's been really worried that Twitter's moderation controls can guide the conversation on Twitter in, I guess, potentially harmful ways. So theoretically, taking those controls away would solve that problem.
But I mean, how much power or influence will Musk have now that he's decided not to join the board?
I mean, more if he wants. His new filing, regulatory filing, states he can basically engage in discussions with the board or the management about the business or the governance of it. And it also says clearly he can basically tweet his views about the company and its management. And you know, that he can change his mind on any of these things at any given time. So,
so quite a lot more freedom, I guess. You know, last week there was this period when we knew Musk had bought a stake, but before he joined the board, where there were all of these questions about what his role was going to be, what power he would try to exert, whether this was a hostile takeover. I mean, are we back at the same place now that he's decided not to join?
I mean, on one hand, it would seem like we might be, but the truth is we're probably not. And as much as we don't like to admit it necessarily, he's probably fundamentally changed the game, whatever he decides to do. I mean, even if he suddenly says, you know, just, you know, jokes, I'm selling all my shares, that was fun, good luck. I think the shares, Twitter shares would go way down because one, he's no longer involved. So there goes the hope of big and rapid change. There goes any, you know, memification that was there. And then two, he's tweeted in the past he's interested in starting his own social media company. So that would then be a threat to Twitter. Over the weekend, one of the things he tweeted was a question of whether Twitter was dead, suggesting maybe there's no hope of revival. So just something to think about.
Yeah, let's talk about Twitter's share price a little bit, because it jumped when it was made public that Musk had, you know, roughly a 9% stake, and then it jumped again when he was joining the board, and then over the weekend we find out he's not joining the board, and on Monday shares were up again. So do we have a sense of what Twitter shareholders, you know, who aren't Elon Musk want, and if they want his participation?
I think it means they want radical change, you know, and they've been disgruntled that it hasn't come quickly enough. You know, the saying, it's not as though we're trying to coordinate a NASA landing here. I mean, this is a guy who's already figured out how to privately best NASA in many arenas. So, you know, if anyone can get you an edit button on Twitter, it's him.
Okay, so if there's, you know, push for some of these changes, and we know there's been some sort of corporate upheaval going on at Twitter, mm-hmm. and some changeover in some of their top spots. Now there's this back and forth with Musk. Can you just give us a rundown of what's been happening and what the current situation means for the company's future leadership?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether there's going to be a poison pill situation. Importantly, Twitter's not a controlled company. So it's possible there could become something hostile. But I think it all sort of depends on what exactly he wants to change. I mean, if he wants to start calling the company Titter, then yeah, I mean, I think there'll probably be a big problem. But if he wants to see constructive business model changes, you know, at a pace that makes sense, then I think we've seen from the stock's reaction both ways that he really has shareholder support. So in that case, board and management will have to play ball.
In the letter and tweet announcing that Musk wasn't going to be joining the board, Twitter CEO Parag Agarwal mentioned that there would be distractions ahead. What was he referring to here?
I mean, honestly, I took that as specifically referring to Elon. We don't really know how this is going to go. And Twitter stock moves have been, you know, highly correlated with the evolving story. So Elon will probably choose to get more active. Although I guess he could also choose just to pare down his stake and move on, like I said. So at the very least, though, we're kind of learning that he's shooting from the hip here, making quick decisions and then occasionally quickly changing his mind. So I think the takeaway is that, you know, assuming we've seen the end of the drama here would be a big mistake.
All right. That was our Heard on the Street columnist, Laura Foreman. Thanks so much for joining us, Laura.
Thanks.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.